This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Bird struck him out looking. The Cardinals are going to Michigan to take on the Tigers.
Holiday out to deep right. Yes.
Swing and a high drive to center field. Get up, baby. Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah. David Freeze has just sent us in the game number 7.
Driven.
Jim Cromer.
They're talking about what you're talking about. Welcome to Ruffled Feathers from the Two Birds on a Bat Show.
It's time for Ruffled Feathers right here at Two Birds on a Bat, coming to you from the patio studio. This show is brought to you by our good friends at Adam's Smokehouse, the best barbecue in St. Louis. St. Louis, here's your cue. The show is also brought to you by Patterson Tire and Service, so much more than a tire store. Tonight is a very special, edition of Ruffled Feathers. We haven't been here for a couple weeks. I took something called a vacation. I really took a vacation this time. I went off grid. It was wonderful, but I sure have missed my friend, Mr. Sure SM7B, that's staring me right in the face. Haven't done this for a while. We have 12 games down for 2021. I've been able to watch approximately half of those because of blackout restrictions. We won't go off the rails on that tonight, although I really want to. I'm not going to. My friends are with me from the Team Arrivals podcast. We have a special treat for you guys tonight. It's going to be, if you believe in Schadenfreude, as my friend so eloquently put it on an Instagram post, you're going to get a bit of that tonight, because as much soreness and worry that we have about the Cardinals through their first six games, folks, our rivals, if you go north on I-55, are in the same place, if not a little bit worse than what we are. So what makes you feel better when your team's not doing exactly what you want them to do? It's looking at your rivals and see them doing just a tidge worse and ready to blow up their whole franchise. We're going to hear a lot about that tonight. So yes, there's going to be some Cubs talk, but it's not going to be the kind of boisterous and bragging Cubs talk. It's going to be this kind that we've been waiting for like 5 years, of them wanting to dismantle that diamond that showed up in 2016. They're going to destroy it tonight. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun. Let's sit back and enjoy it. And at this point now, I'm going to kick it over to my good friend, Pete, who's going to lead us in.
Good evening, Cubs and Cardinals fans. It's Thursday, April 15th. It should be tax day, but we've pushed it back to May 17th. But still, somebody's got to pay the piper, and I think it's the boys at 1060 West Addison. We'll talk a bit about that tonight. Joining me tonight, that's enough of a monologue, but joining me tonight, number 48 on the top 50 cards on Twitter, number one in your heart, and he's here tonight with his best friend, which I just found out tonight. It's not occasional show co-host, guest host, Illinois State wrestling champion, Elliot Dewey. No, tonight, number 48 is here with his best friend, his Sure SMB Mike. So welcome, Ron. It's so good to have you. Good to know where your loyalties lie. Uh-huh. It's not the Cardinals. It's not Elliot and I. It's your microphone. But before you get into it.
Yep.
We just want to welcome you back. It's been a couple of weeks.
It has been.
You took some time off. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it. Ron, Elliot, we knew this division was going to be bad. Mm-hmm. Did either of you expect it to be as aggressively mediocre as it is?
Elliot, go ahead. I've already talked, but yeah, go ahead, Elliot. I'm going to leave it to you.
No. No, I didn't think it would be this aggressively bad, because It, I mean, it, it seriously almost feels like they're trying to lose. And I mean, it's just, it's frustrating to watch these guys perform at the level that they are when you know that they can perform at a higher level. And this is for both teams, because we know that the Cardinals can perform at a higher level, especially with this team, but they're not. Mm-hmm. So it, it's gotta be just mind-numbingly just frustrating to watch the way that these teams perform, especially like, I mean, ooh. It's the same book that we have read the last year.
Yeah. Well, we knew it was coming, right? It's like, Elliot, when we've seen this enough, guys, if you watch movies and you've seen trailers, like they put all the best scenes in the trailer. We know the movie's not going to be that good. And this is what we're seeing, right? That we suspected that that was going to happen. I know, another analogy from Ron. Wow, imagine that. This is what he specializes in. But yeah, it's. I wouldn't say it's so much maddening to some, but it's kind of like, you know, this could. I'm not going to say turning south is too strong, but it's not going to look that great for these reasons, and we're seeing it not looking that great for these reasons. At least on the Cardinals side of things. And I imagine from what I pick up from you guys, it's very similar to where it could go bad if these things occur, and those things are occurring. Some of them.
Yeah. I tell you what, Elliot said that we know they can play better. I don't know. Based on the last 3 years, I don't know that the Cubs can be better. Mm-hmm. We were talking about it before the show, and I kind of, at this point, they've had how many different hitting coaches that have gone through the system since 2015. Clearly the team peaked in 2016, but since 2018, it's been a pretty steady downward slope, and it's all on the offensive side of the ball, you know, and that's the side that everybody made a big deal about, was how good the Cubs offense was. And that because everybody was on their rookie contracts and relatively cheap, mm-hmm. that they would be able to supplement on the pitching side of the ball. But if you look at the stats over the last, I think 4 or 5 years, the Cubs have consistently been in the top half, if not the top third of Major League Baseball as a pitching staff. And I'm not talking about their rotation or their bullpen. It's been both. Both the rotation mm-hmm. and the bullpen have been sneaky good mm-hmm. over the last 4 or 5 years. And nobody's really given them credit for it, because all the stars, quote unquote, have been on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
I don't think these guys are coachable. I mean, they've fired enough hitting coaches and nothing has changed. I think you got a bunch of prima donnas who just aren't coachable, and they have their way that they play baseball and the way that they take and their approach at the plate. And they're not going to change it. And you can't get in my ear, because in my second year in the league, I won the World Series. So who are you to tell me what to do?
Right. And what happened to these guys, these patient guys at the plate? I mean, that was kind of the sauce in 2016, where these guys would just wait for their pitches, and now they're swinging at everything. I mean, granted, there's times where you swing at the first pitch when you're facing somebody who is notoriously throwing first pitch strikes, but they're swinging at everything and they're not waiting for their pitch. There are a few guys that are, but mostly not.
Yeah, agree. You know, it's all about, I mean, you hear it all the time, right? It almost becomes a cliche at this point, but it's a game of adjustments. And you know, if that, we're going to oversimplify everything, right? Because none of us are professional athletes, so we're going to do it, folks. Newsflash. But you know, if you were a team that notoriously like wants to run the pitch count up on the starter, take a few pitches, wait for yours, you know, eventually the league is going to adjust to that approach, and I say eventually, like quickly these days. And if they know you're going to take, well, they're going to get out ahead of you, and then they're going to put you. You're going to be swinging at their pitch at some point in time, right? So I don't know, Elliot. I'd say the Cardinals at times with some of their players have actually the opposite problem, where they're taking a lot of pitches that they can hit, and then they're getting set up to face pitches that they struggle with, right? And I'll point to a couple Cardinals, Harrison Bader and Tyler O'Neill. I'm not saying it's happening this very moment today, but you know, we saw Harrison Bader last year and the year before. He would take those hittable pitches that he could handle. And he can hit a fastball.
What he can't hit is off-speed pitches. When he's guessing, you've got him. And so he would set himself up for that, right? So, you know, when people say, well, you know, he can't hit off-speed pitches. Well, he sets himself up for that, and he had been. And so it's a game of adjustments. The really great hitters adjust to that kind of thing. And they go, well, you know what? I've seen it for a couple games now. They're attacking me early so they can get me behind in the count. And I think the good players, like, instead of just staying with yourself, you know, they throw off the game plan a little bit, and at least one at bat, they say, no, I'm going to approach it different and get them thinking differently next time. So, again, easier said than done. Hitting a baseball is very hard. Hitting a golf ball is actually harder for me, cause it's sitting still, but, Pete knows that, but yeah, it is a game of adjustments, and I would have to think the Cubs players are smart enough, at least. I mean, the professional ball players are surrounded by a bunch of smart guys that they've tried to adjust to that. So it is incredible how performance falls off. And you see it time and time again with players. They're great, and you think they've got a bright future ahead of them. Then all of a sudden they're struggling, and you just really can't figure out what the hell's happening and why. We see it all the time. We see it on both of our rosters. We're not alone. And there are other teams that face the same thing. But in particular, there's a good half dozen players we look at and go, gosh, it just seems like these guys should be doing so much better than they are, and we're not seeing the results. I don't think it's for a lack of effort. It's something that a lot of us try to put our finger on. I don't know how good we are at it, but you know, we see what we see, and I know the team see a lot more than we do, and they know more than we do, supposedly. But man, sometimes I don't know, right? There are times I think we can spot something just as well as the best organization with the most sophisticated analytics tools and pitch labs and everything else. But gosh, we watch enough baseball. The guy's struggling. Don't try to convince me he's actually playing better than his results, because his exit velocity is higher than it's ever been, but he's not getting the results, and he's unfortunately just receiving bad luck.
Yeah, and I've seen a couple articles like that the last week or so, where it's like
greasing the skids, you know, for something later.
Hey, that last ball that was batted by Rizzo at 114 miles per hour normally has a 700 batting average connected to it. Yeah, well, you know, he got out again.
You said batting again, average that and, doesn't even and exist again. Anymore. Right?
So it's like, don't try to tell me that.
And the problem with it also is that, and you mentioned it earlier, Elliot, and I think it's all a chain of events, right? The Cubs strikeout percentage, I think, is something like 30%. 30% of their at-bats, they're striking out. Well, that leads, I think, that you could probably find a causal link to they're striking out so much that they're starting to put themselves into situations where the pitcher's, great, you hit it 110 miles an hour, but you hit the exact pitch I wanted, exactly where I wanted it, and ended up in the exact result you got.
Yeah, right? You hit into the shift.
Right, what I haven't seen anything that says that all the BABIP and all that stuff takes into account where on the field it is. All it measures is launch angle and exit velocity. I think that's right, and that's where they come up with that. It's got a 700 batting average. Okay, great. You know, with a 2% launch angle and a 150 mile exit velocity, you're right. That probably does have pretty high. But if it's hit right at the first baseman, I mean, he's going to catch it.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't matter. I haven't seen anything that takes that into account is where you're hitting a ball with that profile.
Well, it's a, you know, some of these stats, Peter, how well they hit the ball when they hit it. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, how often do they hit it? Like, I've seen a lot of stuff about Matt Carpenter. Like, when he's hitting the ball, he's hitting it harder than he had, or as hard as he was like 3 or 4 years ago. So if he keeps doing that, his results are going to be better. I'm like, yeah. See, the only problem is his batting average. His batting average is under 100, right? So does that stat account for how many times he actually swings and misses or stares at strikes go right over the heart of the plate? We don't, like, does that account for everything? Because I don't care how great the result is when they make contact, but isn't there something to be said for how often they actually do it? I mean, I think that's the thing that people are missing. Like, we've seen a lot of Twitter activity around, hey, look at this chart. He's top five in baseball with when he actually hits the ball. Look how great he hits the ball. Okay, but he hit 5 out of 100 pitches. So what the fuck does it matter?
Right.
I don't know.
And, you know, and Ron, this guy, I know we're old fogies, but you absolutely hit on it, right? everybody's saying that the three true outcomes is not, I mean, it's becoming now a consensus. Mm-hmm. Three true outcomes baseball is not entertaining. And I don't think that anybody would disagree with that. When the likelihood is that you're either going to see a home run, a walk, or a strikeout, that's not entertaining baseball. Great. Yep. So what you're saying is that batting average actually does matter.
It
without people, saying it.
Well, people will tell you it describes what happened more so than, you know, what really happened. Like, what really happened with the ball when that guy hit it? How hard and what was the quality of the contact? But, I get that there are other stats that
An out's an out.
Yeah, I know. I'm right. With you. You know I'm with you. But
I know.
You know, okay, how well was the pitch hit, right? And people find that stuff more valuable. Or what's the barrel rate? You know, and I just look at batting average. I'm like, okay, well, then you're the same guys that tell me Tony Gwynn's going to suck. Mm-hmm. You're going to tell me Rod Carew sucks.
Ichiro Suzuki sucks.
Sure. Yeah. All these guys suck. And they, you know, I don't know, man. I just don't think, I think some people who are into this kind of stuff aren't happy unless they have power hitters 1 through 9. People that just, and you've heard me say it before, I hate the term and I love the term swing porn. They want it all the time. They're happy watching a game with nothing but strikeouts and just hard hit balls when they're hit. And they're happy with them being hit 20% of the time. And they're happy watching 80% of the pitches in a game either be stared at or just swing and miss. And that's the kind of, there's a reason the game have changed, boomers. This game at times is a little boring. There are too many strikeouts. There are too many walks. And yes, I know it's blasphemy. There's too many home runs, and they become uninteresting at this point. They're all big, strong athletes. They train. They could have played, half of them could have played football, basketball, whatever they wanted to. And yes, if they stick a bat out there and they swing it hard enough, all of them can hit a home run. How intriguing. How intriguing is that?
Ryan, it just hit me.
What?
This is all a conspiracy by Wrigley fans.
I knew it.
Follow me here. We know that half the crowd at Wrigley Field isn't really paying attention to the game anyway.
They're more concerned
with either the beer in their hand or the hot girl three seats over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And trying to impress both of them at the same time.
Right.
Well, it's hard to do that when there's base running and balls being put in play and stuff, because then you have to pay attention to what's going on the field.
It's a distraction.
Because otherwise you just look like an asshole.
Right, it's a distraction.
You're hitting on this girl. She's watching the game. You're not paying attention. But three true outcomes, you only have to pay attention to what's going on the field every 15 minutes. So you can turn to the girl who's three seats over and try to pick her up. You can order your 17th beer in the stands.
If there's only home runs and strikeouts.
I think it's my fellow, well, they're not my fellow Cubs fans. The Wrigley fans who inhabit Wrigley Field, they're the cause of the problem.
They're the root. I can't disagree. You can form a strong argument that says that, hey, it is their fault. And because it is their fault, I just want to take a moment to remind everybody and you can find us on twobirdsonabat.com. Please click subscribe to that podcast. It takes only about 30 seconds, and best of all, it's absolutely free. You can find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Facebook. Just search for Two Birds on a Bat. Share that, post with what kind of fan are we going to pick on right now? Picked on the Pirates enough. Should we go with picked on Mariners?
Reds. They're at the top of
the Reds. We'll pick on this. Share it with a Red. Share it with those Northern Kentucky fans that root for the Reds. It's basically Kentucky anyway in Cincinnati, right, Elliot? You're familiar with that
area? Absolutely. Yes, I am.
Share it with a Reds fan. They need our help. And you can follow us on Instagram at Two Birds on a Bat Show. You can also find us on lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. Pete, where can they find us? I mean, geez, are we anywhere?
Well, you know, they can follow us online at teamarrivalspodcast.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook at Team Arrivals Podcast and on Twitter at Team Arrivals Pod. And for those of you who are watching us live or watching the replay, you know, over the weekend, hit the like and subscribe buttons and be sure to ring the bell on YouTube so that you receive notifications anytime we post new content. I like that.
Yeah, if you're sick of Facebook like we are, I can't speak for all of us, but like me, if you're sick of Facebook, just go to YouTube. We got a small following on there. We haven't put any effort behind that, but we should probably start. I'm not really sure what happened to Periscope, but I think Twitter Live, you know, magically our last show went out on Twitter Live. It shows up on our Twitter page. So I don't know how that happened.
Well, we
normally we have to put extra effort in to get these things to work. We have to get these things to work on Twitter, but I think that the gods were with us because we were able to get it out on Twitter Live.
Given that Periscope, was a Twitter app. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess that they just migrated all that stuff over.
I think they did it for us. I think they've seen us struggle.
It went out automatically because you'd already set up the Periscope feed. So well done, Ron. Yeah, you made that happen.
You know what? I say this to people that work for me all the time. I'm like, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And it rings true.
And sometimes it's better to be number 48.
Mm-hmm. Hey, why be a top 10 prospect when you can be in the top? You can kind of be hidden in the back a little bit and just kind of strike when nobody's looking. I like 48. I like that position. I hope I end up at the same point next year. I don't want to move up. I don't want anybody to notice.
How would you feel if you went to 47 though?
It'd be pressure. It'd be filled with pressure. You know, like it'd be like signing a big contract. Like, can I live up to this, the Shoptaw's number 47 ranking? I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah.
Ron, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Since we're obviously not really talking about baseball. I mean, we are, but
well, we're going to,
how far are Gastonia or High Point away from you?
Gastonia is about, you know, depending on what route you take. I live in Davidson, so I'm a little like north, west of the main Charlotte area. So Gastonia is maybe 40 minutes ish.
Okay.
On a good northeast track, right? No, it's
Gastonia
like it's almost like directly west of Charlotte.
Okay.
Yep. That's a strange question.
Well, the reason I ask, is because both Gastonia and High Point are in the Atlantic League, and I was thinking that in the second half of the summer, I think Elliot and I should make a road trip down to visit you, so that we can see what 61-foot, 6-inch mounds look like.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great point. I didn't think about that either. I'm not sure that affects what is it? I forgot the league that the Kannapolis Intimidators are in. They're the White Sox single.
It does not. It does not. Atlantic
You're right.
League.
Okay. That is interesting. It's only a short jot away from me. So, yeah. So, interesting. I actually might have to check that out. And now that we have minor league baseball,
The mound's moving back in the second half of the season. That's why I mentioned that. But the other changes as far as an electronic strike zone and the double hook designated hitter are both going to be implemented at the beginning of the season. So
yeah,
you could see how that works out.
Well, anything to help out the swing porn.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
I mean, the pitchers already have an advantage, right? Like throughout history. The pitchers already have a 70% on average. Like even at their
better,
most disadvantaged point, they have a 70% advantage over the hitters, right? Because the best ones hit 300 ish, and the pitchers are already advantaged. So why not take a little bit more back from them? Bob Gibson is twisting in his grave right now. One of the reasons that they lowered the mound was because of
Bob Gibson.
Was because of him and. And we're seeing other changes here. So, yeah, no, that's something I didn't know. It was so close to me, Pete. I'm glad you brought that up. I might have to check that out. I think we
get to make it happen.
All right. Well, if you guys want to join in, I'd be happy be happy to host. I mean, I got space here in the backyard. There you go. Thank you, Elliot. Boy. Oh, it's been such a long time.
I figured it's been a while. And
it's been a long time.
We deserved one.
Yeah, we did. We did. You did. Guys, I know I want to get back on the rails here. So
let's do this.
Pete, you telegraphed earlier in the week, the Cubs roster, you know, it's time. You guys are itching for a direction, something to be done. So you kind of know what to expect, right? You saw the same thing in 2011 when Theo took over, you know, he laid it out for you guys like, hey, bear with us for 4 or 5 years. We're going to get this thing right. We're going to set this team up to win. You're in a position now where you just want something. You're probably itching for the same thing. Organization, please take a direction so I can prepare my mind for the next 3 years. So, guys, I'm going to turn it over to you. and just fire away. What do you want to see this organization do to get your team right? And we'll get in. We'll get Cardinal fans. Hang on, this is what I was talking about at the beginning. You've wanted to hear it. You've wanted to hear painful talk from Cubs fans. Think back to 2016, how much that sucked, right? Think back to 2015, when it maybe even sucked even more, getting knocked out of the playoffs for the first time ever. We're facing our division rivals. And now here's where we land in 2021. These guys are done with this group. Enjoy it. Listen to it. Don't be angry. Nobody likes angry people. Just enjoy it. Empathize
Who's
a little
bit.
Who's
getting murdered in the background? Is that you, that's Elliot, or you, Ron?
That's his microphone. It's not mine.
Oh, it's definitely me. It's the deaf people downstairs who.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to turn it over to you guys.
Go. You go first, Elliot.
While there's a murder going on in the background.
While there's a murder downstairs. Yeah. Hold on.
Hey, 48. Pete, can you switch the names?
Pete, you go, and then. Let me see if I can take care of the murder downstairs.
Well, I tell you, you're right, Ron. I want to see them take a direction. And unfortunately, it certainly seems like there's no appetite for that right now. And I understand not wanting to cut bait too early, because you're not going to be able to find trade partners this early in the season, but it's become abundantly clear that, there aren't many people that you're going to want to keep around. I love Anthony Rizzo, and selfishly, I don't want my son to be disappointed. But I don't see how you can extend Anthony Rizzo. However, they don't have a first baseman in their system anyway. So of all the people, God, if you're going to extend anybody, I think the one person to extend would be Rizzo, simply because you don't have anybody to replace him. I think everybody seems to be resigned to Chris Bryant leaving. So I think you start the talks on Chris Bryant now, because it's become very clear with the way that he started this year, that if Chris Bryant isn't 100% healthy, he's replacement level at best. So I would work to trade him as soon as I can before he gets injured again, because he's going to. I mean, it's clear. He's going to get injured again this year. His numbers are going to tank, and they're not going to get shit for him, and he's going to walk anyway. So the sooner they can trade him, the better. Javi Baez, dude's a wild card, and he looks like 2015, 2016 Javi Baez, where you didn't know what you were going to get from him at the plate. He does not look like the MVP candidate that he was 2 years ago. And I can't justify spending anywhere close. I don't think he's in the top tier of shortstops. You know, that was the talk going into last year, was that he was going to be in that top rung, that he wasn't going to make the most out of next year's class of shortstops, but that he was going to be in that top rung. I don't think he's there anymore. The bat just hasn't sustained the way that it did in 2019. And yes, he's a wondrous fielder, but the Cubs have a plethora of shortstops, you know, at various levels. Throughout their minor league system. So, and then everything else is just a mess. So I think see what you can get for it. Keep the young pitchers that you have, do what you can to protect the young players and see what they've got. Give as many opportunities to those young guys as you can, and bite the bullet and admit that next year is going to suck, and quite possibly the year after that. Because it's clear that the Cubs, that Jed Hoyer doesn't seem to have any intention to build through free agency. So fine. If you're going to build through the farm system, you better start now. Let's get a good pick for the 2022 draft.
Yeah. Time for the Cubs to become the Pittsburgh Pirates. They need to trade off where they can really get a return and sign what they can't replace, and kind of trade everything that is worth something for us. I mean, our it's crazy to think that our pitching staff is kind of where our strong part is. I mean, and as much as I don't want to do it, you can probably get something for Kimbrel if he keeps performing like he does too, and just kind of bring up some of those young guys that have, you know, are throwing triple digits. I mean, not some of the guys we just drafted, but, you know, some of those young guys down in the farm system that we can use. that maybe is a bit of a wild card can use some of that major league experience. But and I agree with you on Javi. I probably wasn't going to say this last year, but at this point now, you're right. I mean, he is a fantastic fielder, but that's not where we really need him. We really need him to hit, and he's not. He's swinging at pitches 4 feet off the plate, and every pitcher that faces him knows it. All they have to do, throw something high in inside or just high, and throw a breaking ball off the plate, and he is going to swing at it. He does get streaky, but those streaks don't last very long. Not anymore. Not like they did back in 2016, 2017. I mean, it's not good. And it's super disappointing to watch the way these guys are up at the plate. It's not what we envisioned for these guys 3 years ago, for sure. So I feel like at this point, make a plan, stick to it, be honest with the fans, and do it.
Is that it?
You know, Elliot, you made a great point. Oh. Is there anything more useless on a losing team than a Hall of Fame closer? I mean, it's nice to know that when he is called on, that he's going to be effective. But at this point, I think Craig Kimbrel, you're absolutely right. Craig Kimbrel is far more valuable to the Cubs as a trade chip than he is as a back end closer.
Yeah. I love watching him pitch, especially now. I mean, the last couple of years were disappointing that, you know, we brought him in. He just didn't get into the season because it was a shortened spring training. And then that really affected him. I mean, you could totally tell. And then last year with you know, throwing these guys off. I mean, you can throw the COVID season kind of out the window for the most part. But now, I mean, the dude looks good. He's throwing heat. He's really using his breaking ball effectively. The guys aren't being able to hit the fastball. I mean, it's fantastic to see. So, and one of the really disappointing things I feel like this year is that I feel like Jason Hayward has taken a step back. So I felt like he made some strides last year, even in that tough season. But I feel like he's again just kind of rolling over everything again. Like there's the bouncer to second base again, instead of making that adjustment that he did last year. So, but one thing I will say is Chafin has the best mustache on the team.
It really helped him when he got blown up the other day.
Yeah, it did.
Oh.
We're done, Ron.
All right. So
enough doom and gloom for you Cardinals fans?
Not enough.
Did you really love that?
Yeah, there wasn't enough pain and anguish in your voices. It was more people of reason and level-headedness and realized that they had... it's just you and me from Elliot. That's fine.
Sorry, we couldn't come out with the doom boners a little bit harder. Well, but
you guys tried. I mean, you tried. I mean, you put it out there, and you know, we've all been kind of wondering when this is going to happen. It happens to every core team every now and then. It kind of, you have a turnover. You know, the Cardinals, I think, have been less severe. You know, the change of the guard after 2007, when, you know, Edmonds departed, Roland departed. After 2011, when Pujols left, they managed to have enough in their system and to be able to supplement enough to where they still had a pretty solid team intact. And I don't think we're in any position. When you have players like Paul Goldschmidt and Arenado on your roster, you probably never feel like you're in a position where, okay, now's the time to break everything down to the studs and completely renovate.
No, absolutely not.
But you definitely have, you know, some parts of your home that need some TLC, and the Cardinals are definitely, I think fall into that category. And so we can get into all that, but no, you guys disappointed me tonight. I expected to hear a lot of more pain and anguish and all that other stuff. So whatever, you know, you guys tried, you guys forgot. Well, I don't know what it is. Was it just the tenderization of like a decade or two of just being disappointed? Was it the 2003 thing? Was it 07 and 08 where, you know, you won the division, but then couldn't win a single playoff game? Is it all that stuff? That's like, and I can relate to it because I'm a Bears fan. And so we see it all the time. Yeah. Hey, look at this awesome defense. Shit. If we only had a quarterback to get us there. And
right.
You know, it's just kind of one of those, yep, that happened. I thought it was going to happen and it happened.
No, I think it's been the breakdown, slow breakdown since 2016.
It's been a slow building thing, right?
Yeah.
So we won in 16. We got close to repeating in 17.
2018.
Made it all the way to the NLCS.
And then you just then every had year total after that, fall apart in 2019. Is
one disappointment
Pete's mic off?
After the other.
I think,
and it kept
no, I can hear him, Elliot. You just keep talking right over him. And it was actually
I can't hear him at all.
Okay.
So I thought he was on mute.
I can hear you just fine.
Me?
Yeah. No, I can hear you just fine. Elliot can't hear you. Maybe we'll switch to this. Elliot, can you hear him now?
Elliot, can you hear me now? No.
No.
Beautiful.
It's always something like this.
It must be, he must not be able to hear over all the murder happening downstairs.
Yeah, it's the murder
anyway,
downstairs.
Anyway, so the point I was making until Elliot can somehow.
It must be just me because Pete's coming through fine.
I can't
on YouTube.
The point
I
was making, because I know that you can hear me, so is that from, you know, 18, 19, 20, like every year there's been that looming disappointment. You're like, oh, here it comes. Oh, it happened again. It happened again. It happened. And now you're right. We're right back where we were in 07 and 08. I mean, you and I have talked about it. I was in the stands. I believe it was in 08. In the very first game of the playoffs against the Dodgers, and that when they had an error at every position in the infield except with our guest Ryan Terrio, and I'm sitting in the outfield, and everybody else in the bleachers is like, oh, they can come back from this, and I remember looking at them and being like, what indication have they given this year that they could possibly come back from this? And you know. It's happening again, just in a different form. The Cubs have given no indication over the last 4 years that they can hit their way out of a paper bag. So why anybody would expect anything to be different when you're playing with the same players is beyond me.
And there we have it. That's what the Cardinal fans were waiting to hear. They couldn't hit their way out of a paper bag. They just wanted to hear one soundbite that they could relate to, because there are a handful of players that I think – at least social media Cardinals fans feel the exact same way about. And before we get into any of that, guys, there was a question that came in on the text line, but I want to get to that yet. So for your Cubs this year, I mean, let me ask you guys this. They're 5-7, right? Through the first 12 games. You know, it's been a couple rough series, and we certainly have not fared well against our own division opponents up to this point. Thank God we played the Marlins. You know, it hasn't been well. The Cardinals, their first homestand of 2021, they go 2-4. Not a great debut. Started off with a bang against Milwaukee with Nolan Arenado, you know, putting up the game-winning runs there in the opening day, but it was an awful homestand. I mean, what is the bare minimum of a homestand when you're facing Milwaukee and then you're facing Washington, who's not the Washington of 2019? Let's call it what it is, right? And you faced Strasburg, who's not the Strasburg of 2019 in the World Series. You finish at 2-4. That's disappointing. Now, 12 games into the year, it's not pull the plug at all.
Right.
But I just can't help but to feel this is not something that's going to necessarily correct itself over the next 60 days. And I think a lot of Cardinal fans are worried about the same thing. There are a handful of players we have in mind that we're concerned about. We're concerned about the performance. We're concerned about decline. And we're concerned about lineup construction, whether that means anything or not. Like, does it really matter where they bat in the lineup? If they're getting out, does it really matter? So we don't have to break each and everything down. It's probably not worth it. It's too early. But I don't know. What do you guys think? You guys sound like this has been telegraphed in your minds. You see it coming. Is it just a direction you want to hear from the organization? Is that the thing? Is that the thing you want to hear or you want to kind of get an indication for? They got to play their cards somewhat close to their chest, no pun intended, because they can't sell right now 12 games in. I mean, they've got to somehow at least build value behind guys like Chris Bryant, at least to get something for him as we approach the trade deadline. If the front office and management thinks that they're, even if they're in mathematical contention, if you know you're not getting past any of the big names in the National League, like, isn't it on them to claim that you're still in it, you're competing, to build value behind a couple key players? Like, you can't make them all available in April, right?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right from that standpoint, Ron. It's not like you can go out and have a press conference and throw your players under the bus and say that they suck.
Yeah,
right. You can't do that. And I don't know that they ever will, because that's immediately going to tank you as any kind of a free agent destination. But yeah, what I'd like to know is that, and what you would hope is that they're already having those conversations with potential trade partners, you know, saying, all right, look, these are the guys who we're shipping out. So what do you know, what can you offer us?
Yeah.
You mean you don't want somebody like a Carlos Zambrano type to say we suck to call out the team and say, yeah, we're terrible right now. We're playing bad. I mean, you kind of had that with Arrieta where, I mean, you kind of alluded to, hey, we're playing bad baseball right now. And, you know, we're expecting to turn this around. Are you really? Because we're seeing a whole lot of 2020 right now.
We are. But I want to get to a question that was a couple of them that were sent our way on the Patterson Tire and Service text line, which allows us to hear from you, the fans. Please give our friends at Patterson Tire and Service an opportunity for your business. Patterson Tire and Service is a whole lot more than a tire store, as they specialize in automotive repair. Give them a call at 618-797-6711 for a quick quote and set up an appointment today to head down to 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois to find out why they are the best in the business. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. First question really is aimed at Cardinal fans, so I'll take this one if you guys don't mind. Was this Lane Thomas's last chance? He was optioned again down to the minor leagues after he was called up. He didn't have a very good spring. He had an awful 2020, but he had coronavirus and fog from that. And, you know, if you've paid attention to his minor league career, and I haven't with my own eyes, but I've experienced his minor league career through guys like Kyle Reese who watched, you know, have watched and reported on him and wrote about him. It feels like it feels like the Lane train has left the station. Like, Lane Thomas is no longer an option for the Cardinals outfield anywhere in the near future. It feels like it's over. They purchased a contract of some name. I don't have it in front of me right now. They've picked up somebody that was available. And so to me, it feels like they've kind of given up on Lane Thomas, which makes a lot of Cardinal fans think about, you know, the outfielders they have dealt, they've moved on from, and the outfielders that they've, you know, kind of bet on that would stick around and succeed. And, you know, John Mozeliak, in his own words in the offseason, said a lot of those wrong calls are on him. And so we're seeing, I think, one of them happen right now. It's not official. Nothing's been declared. But I think that an outfielder like, I think Lane Thomas is, we probably won't see him up on the team anymore. That's my feeling right now. I have no inside information. I have no idea. That's my gut feeling. Just watching what's happened. I think they've moved on. And part of their journey of figuring out who these young outfielders are, it continues. And I think we've got one more answer. They didn't believe in Adolis Garcia. They dealt him to Texas. They didn't believe in necessarily in Randy or Rosarena. We all know that story. They dealt him to Tampa Bay. That trade will not be judged until we figure out if Matthew Liberatore is going to be a rotation guy or not. That could answer that. So the answers are coming a lot slower than I think what most fans want, but we're getting them. And so I think Lane Thomas' question has been answered. That's just my opinion. The other question, guys, that comes in from the same one is, geez, on this, paraphrasing this one, and it comes with no name, but it's early in the season, but are there any possible wild cards from the National League Central? Good question. I'm going to kick it over to you two. Do you guys see any possibility of a wild card coming from here? Or is it just the division winner?
No, it's going to be the division winner, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, unless the Cardinals get their shit together, I mean, it could be the Brewers might be the division winner this year.
They look tougher than I thought, but they have for like the last 4 or 5 years when I thought they've dropped, they're going to regress. You know, they can't possibly keep this up, but
it's the lights.
Something. Maybe it's the new, American Family Field or something like that. Maybe it's the name change.
Great American Park.
No, that's Cincinnati.
It's American.
No, that's American Family Field.
Family,
right.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but we count them out every year. Like, we think they're going to finish third or fourth. And it's like they never do. I mean, they made the playoffs last year.
They're that annoying kid on the playground that just won't leave you alone.
Right. Like, he's persistent enough to make it every year. And once in a while, he's going to get you. And I think, it is scary. A strange outcome for the National League Central in 2021 is the Brewers are the only team that make the playoffs because they win the division. Would that shock any of us? Like, would any of us drop and be like, what the hell happened? No, I wouldn't at this point.
No.
Like, they got enough firepower on that lineup and at a better rotation than I thought. That could be a thing.
And that really sucks. That sucks for both of us.
It does suck. It does suck. The ace of their staff surprised me. I didn't realize, like, this name wasn't anything to me before this year, before I saw him pitch against St. Louis, and I can't remember that. It starts with an F. Like, it's not...
Bowman?
No. I can't... His name just completely left my head, and I had it like a second ago, but he was throwing heat. He looked really good, and he got late enough in the game where they pulled him, and they finally got to his bullpen. It was opening night in St. Louis last Thursday, a week ago today, and gosh, ashamed of myself. I had it up in front of me, but the rotation is a little better than what most of us thought, but why should we be surprised that Milwaukee's still like been in the mix for several years?
Woodruff or Freddy Peralta?
Nope, neither one of those guys. Keep searching. It was a starter last Thursday.
It's Corbin Burns.
That's
Brandon Wood.
Burns.
Corbin Burns.
Burns.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked really good. I was impressed. So.
He killed the Cubs the other day.
Yep.
So. All of them did.
Brewers. I have to say this, that as we talk about St. Louis here, a lot of heartburn in Cardinals social media and Twitter. Concerning Matt Carpenter continuing to be in the starting lineup. We all know how the story has gone over the last few years. We don't have to rehash everything, but...
I was going to say, isn't this the same old story that's been going on?
Yeah, it has in a way, but there continues to be avenues to open up that allow justification to start him. You know, Harrison Bader gets injured in spring training, roster spots open up, and... when the outfield's not performing and their outfield on a whole has been terrible. They haven't performed, and it's been a story now for, if we play out the entire 2021, it might be 2.5 years where we've had a dismal outfield as far as offensive performance. And we can win all the gold gloves we want to in left field. When you have an entire outfield, three position players that aren't getting it done, it does impact what happens in the lineup. So Harrison Bader's on the IL to begin the season. It opened a way for Justin Williams, a minor leaguer who had an option left to make the roster. But yet we find Tommy Edman starting in right field, an infielder, his whole minor league career, starting in right field because his bat's capable, because he's a smart hitter and a smart player. Therefore, making room to start Matt Carpenter continuously at second base. To start the season, he wasn't starting, but, you know, three or four games in, Schilt couldn't help himself and started him, had to. A lot of people that look at this on the surface go, well, they're playing the contract. You know, $18.5 million, they feel like they've got to play it because they're paying the money. I don't know that that's the case. I don't know that Schilt himself, or any manager for that matter, looks at contract status and says, well, I got to start them because they're making this many million. Like, Pete, do you really believe those guys who are managers or making out a lineup are looking at salary next to it? I don't believe so. I believe it's a personal relationship with the player that plays into that, not the salary.
Well, yeah, but we also know that that managers are not making their lineups entirely on their own. That there is input into the lineups from, you know, the stats department and the analytics department. And you have to imagine that the general managers also have them on the phone. And I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that Mozeliak or whatever his silent partner's name is actually the one who's picking up the phone and calling Schilt and saying, hey,
Gersh,
you need to get Carpenter in the lineup. It wouldn't surprise me at all if we found out that was the reality, because they're trying to, maybe they're trying to shop him and they want to move him. He's not helping their case.
No. And shopping him is not one thing that I believe, because I don't believe that there's nothing that they're going to get out of him. Are they squeezing any type of value out of that whatsoever that they can possibly get? Maybe, you know, and you can understand that at least, right? But it's not that I make a face so cringy when I see his name in the lineup that my face can never recover and I can never be on camera again. It's not that I dislike, and that's the thing that I think people need to understand. We get upset about lineups, all of us, no matter what team we're rooting for. It's not anything personal against the player. I think with Cardinal fans, it's how the organization has handled the Matt Carpenter thing. It's not him, the person. It's how the organization has handled it. Continuing to run him out there to not just tell us what is really going on when we can all clearly see it, right? This year is an exception because now we've got guys going, well, his WX OBA is shit, it's top five in the league. Okay. Do we give people MVP awards off WXOBA? I don't know. I mean, I understand what the stat does, but I'm probably not even saying it right. Somebody's going to call me out. Fine. Okay. So he's hit a ball when he has hit a ball, which is rare. He's hit it really well. I don't know what that means. Billy Hamilton's really fast, and it's only effective when he actually gets on base. And he doesn't get on base worth a shit, which is why he was never a solid major leaguer.
Exactly.
So please talk to me at the end of the year when I'm wrong, but politely, I guess, until he actually performs, until the results are actually there. I don't care. Man, give me a guy that knows what to do in a bat, in a situation, hits the ball the other way softly. I don't care. Then you make a case why Tony Gwynn doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame and he was a terrible player. If you believe that contact, the opposite field, that just making contact in general and striking out less is produces less of a result than striking out and just trying to hit home runs.
Wasn't that the case with why David Eckstein was so good?
This is a whole thing on Twitter, and somebody made this case and like, boomers, there's a reason the game has changed. Okay. So I want that person to put a case down that says Tony Gwynn was a shit player, never should have made it in the major leagues, and it doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, or Rod Carew or Pete Rose or anybody else. You make your case. Pete Rose, gambling aside, like, you tell me why those guys aren't good players, why they didn't create exciting baseball, and why they didn't belong, and why they did not make the game interesting because they weren't trying to snap their wrist in half every swing. You tell me that, right? I've got a 16-year-old son that gets bored with baseball these days. because of the way the game is played. Do you really find that that brand of baseball interesting? And I don't understand it. And yes, I am older. I can be taught new lessons. I'm not buying this one. How do you feel, Pete? You got that look.
Well, especially for those fans who grew up on the style of baseball that Cardinals fans did, right? And we've discussed this before.
Yeah, whitey ball, small ball, right?
Yeah, I really loved that baseball. It killed me that they were so good, but I loved watching that kind of baseball because it was exciting. The ball was always in play. The players were always on the move on the bases. That's the exciting kind of baseball that drew me in. That's the thing that excited me about it. That's what made no hitters so special, yeah, was because the ball was always being put in play. It was a real treat to see a no hitter.
A routine ground ball to second base during a no hitter, Pete, becomes so tense.
Yep.
Anything, right? A dribbler on the infield, like the guy could beat it out. And
look at the other day with Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna Jr. hitting a ball to shortstop in the dirt, and he fucking beat it out.
Yeah.
He beat out an infield hit, and it wasn't a soft hit ball. It was a hard hit ball, and he still beat it out. That is exciting. And not we play the Braves starting tomorrow.
But what was the launch angle on that ground ball? That's where you fail to capture the interest.
Who gives a shit?
Well, you know, I agree with you, but I don't know. There's just,
I mean, the most exciting game so far the Cubs have played this year was a win where Javi Baez stole two bases, scored on opposite field single. They spread out 11 hits and didn't rely on the long ball. Those are the games that are fun.
When you said the most interesting win that the Cubs have had this year, Pete was searching his mind. I saw him look up at the sky and he was like, Which
one was that?
What the hell are you talking about?
You mean there was an interesting win for the Cubs?
I know, that's exactly. I saw you look up left and right and like what? Like, which one was interesting?
It's been one of the few games I've been able to watch.
Yeah, you did it. You shouldn't have done that. The few games I've been able to watch, yeah, let me tell you about that. So, streamers out there, I'm united with you and I'm pissed. It's just so absolutely ridiculous that MLB charges you $120 for a season of MLB.TV, knowing that you're going to be blacked out for 19 games against Cincinnati, 7 hours away in a car, and then Washington, 5 to 6 hours away in a car. And then the Braves, but at least the Braves local.
Three and a half.
But you know what? It's Bally Sports, so it's no longer available on YouTube TV. So you're telling me that I've got 40 plus games out of your 120 game schedule. You know I'm blacked out on. You're going to still charge me the full price for that, right? And every other service that goes along with that. There might be one left that still carries local, regional, Masson or like Bally Sports or whatever. And so there's 12 games that have happened. I've been able to watch six that have been available. Right. So you wonder why my interest in this game, really guys, and I'm saying this right here, my interest right now in this year is about 50% of what it is normal years, because I've been blacked out 50% of the games. I can't watch them. I have no option. I have to get cable. Like, I have to get cable, or I have to get a satellite dish, and I have to subscribe to a cable company or DirecTV or Dish or somebody in order to get the game. That's what I have to do. I cannot stream. You're punishing streamers. This is complete horse shit. We all know it. I've seen Cardinal fans screaming out loud on Twitter that live in market that can't get the damn games. This is stupid. Baseball.
Especially at a time where only 25% of the fans can actually go to see the game.
Exactly. Like, what in the fuck are you doing this year? This is the dumbest thing they could have done at the dumbest time. Like, really, you're going to black stuff out. $120. Like, how much, if I buy a cable TV package, like, really, like, archaic cable TV, it's going to come into my home, and I'm going to stick a cord into my TV. Like, how much am I paying you, Bally Sports, or you, Cardinals, or whoever, whoever gets the damn money? Like, if I do that through a cable package, how much of that are you getting? It is less. Or if I buy MLB.TV, which I'm giving you $120 a year, like, you have to be getting more for that. Remove the damn blackout restrictions. It's just dumb. Like, get with the times. Get with the times. I understand, Pete, it's contracts, it's deals and everything. It's complicated. They can't get out of this stuff easy. But Jesus Christ. You talk about baseball losing popularity, especially the way the game's played these days. And then you throw this blackout shit on top of it. Like, just stupid. Stupid across the board. I've been able to watch 50% of the Cardinals games. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, and even the MLB players are aware of this.
Yeah,
because
they've been vocal. A few of them have been vocal about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I had retweeted about it last week that on Ian Happ's podcast, they talked about it.
A lot of new respect for that player that he doesn't deserve from me because he spoke out about that, though.
Yeah, he's...
What do you say? He's like, his mom couldn't watch a game or something like that? Or
his mom couldn't watch his first game because she was blacked out. And he even said, he's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
He's like, aren't we trying to grow this sport? The same shit that we have been saying every single time we talk about
this.
Well,
they need to get out of the 1980s way of thinking and get with this. Everything's moving to streaming, guys. We know this. It's happening. My dad will eventually stream.
It's happened. I mean, it grows every single year. Every single month, if you listen to some of the cord cutting news stuff, it is hundreds of thousands of people quitting paying that high ass cable bill to just pay their internet in a streaming service. It's a la carte. It's the way of the world now. I want what I want when I want it, and give me the option. If you don't, I'm not going to pay for it.
And you know what the other way of the world is, and that's making sure that everything you have is secure and protected, which is why the Wiley Group has two locations in Festus and Arnold to serve you. They offer home, auto, boat, motorcycle business, life insurance, investments, and much more. They can customize an approach unique to your situation to make you, your family, and assets properly protected. They offer great rates, savings. Give them a call today at 636-764-6294 to do an insurance review or just talk sports. If you're too busy or they're too busy, email Sean at SeanWiley@allstate.com. I also want to take a moment to thank our featured partners. Adam Smokehouse, we'd like to thank them. Starting with Mike and his wonderful crew at Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Adam's is home to the best barbecue in St. Louis, the absolute best. They do big box orders, catering, and of course, in-house dining. If you want the full experience, head on down to Adam's Smokehouse, meet Mike and his crew. Check out their awesome menu. You will not be disappointed. That's our friends at Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. And finally, don't forget our friends at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, located in both Missouri and Illinois. If you're looking for the right organization to help your youngster with the game of baseball or softball, look no further than Gators Baseball Academy and their four-pillar system. To learn more, check them out at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Pete, this has been an ugly show.
Ron. Yep.
Where did Elliot go?
I don't know. I tell you, maybe there's some hope on the horizon because there was some legislation filed this week to remove the antitrust exemption against Major League Baseball. And I know that it's in response to MLB pulling the All-Star game out of Atlanta, but you know, it's a long time coming. It's the only professional sports league that still has an antitrust exemption. And I think that they've wielded it to their detriment, and they may not have meant to do so. But a lot of the decisions that they've made can't really be questioned because they have that exemption in their back pocket. And maybe it's time they join the 21st century and don't benefit from having that Trump card that they can throw down. So who knows? you know, maybe in a few months that'll end up going through, and baseball will have to act like every other major league in the United States, and they'll have to worry about their players and worry about their audience.
Baseball is
safe.
If you
enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, please give a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe. We're available on Facebook, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Also, be sure to check out the other Gateway City Sports Network podcasts, including the Derek King Sports Show every Wednesday at 9 a.m. on Facebook Live, and 2 for 3 with Moose Michaels. You can send us an email at the show at teamofrivalspodcast.com. You can find Elliot on Twitter at
TOR_Elliot.
And you can find Ron at
TOR_Ron75. I've got one more to throw in there, Pete.
Go ahead.
Unfair because I meant to tell you this before the Turn Into podcast with which I'm excited about this. Our old friend, he goes by at Dylan Dinger now on Twitter. He changes his handle like every 6 months. It used to be STL Matinals, but he has reunited with Tito Rivera at Triveratops, and they are once again doing Turning Two podcast for Gateway City Sports. Great to hear those guys back on together.
Yeah, and next week, MLB The Show 21 comes out for all you gamers out there.
Oh, yes. And my son already issued out a challenge to you guys if you want to take him on.
Not only is it available on PlayStation, but it is also available on Xbox for free with Game Pass, so you don't have to drop that $70.
Wow. Okay. So, but Elliot, you and who I mentioned, Matt Knowles and Tito, like my son has thrown out the invite. He's like, if you guys want to take him on, go ahead.
Oh, and there's crossplay, so I can play on my Xbox.
There you go.
Braden can play on his PS5. We can hash it out.
And Pete and I will just hear
as
about it.
As long as it's on easy.
Pete and I will just have to hear about it because neither one of us have time or energy to do that.
No, are you kidding? Elliot or Braden can easily stream it on Twitch, and you and I can watch it, and we'll record an episode of the two of us calling play-by-play.
Just play-by-play. I love that. Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that. That's something that actually has to happen. There is a way to do that
through Twitch with Discord. If you guys have Discord, we can do it all through there.
I'm not listening to that. I'm going to do it however
I think. You just said a sentence, and I only understood. Well, I understood all the words, but they made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to have a tutorial on this, which I'm probably not going to have patience for.
Actually, I know everything you're talking about, Elliot. We have a video games club that was ranked number one in the United States a couple of years ago.
Oh, look at that. He just threw out those bona fides
Overwatch,
out there.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Okay.
They were the number one high school Overwatch team.
That's awesome.
I don't know what Overwatch is. What is that?
It's a first person shooter. Think of Call of Duty, but with like weird characters and aliens, and there's classes. Yeah,
you lost him already.
I did.
I don't care.
Yeah,
it's a video game, Ron.
Yeah.
It's Doom.
Ooh, I love Doom.
It's a new name for Doom.
Okay.
Not really, but whatever.
All right, boys. All right. I'll take us out. I don't really like to do this. I love you guys so much, all the Cardinals fans, and we'll be talking to you again very, very soon. Bye-bye, everyone. Let's go, Birds.